You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own stories and to share our content with others.
Walking through life with Him, working with Him, laughing, crying, all the things we experience to do with Him. That's His design, and to enjoy His design in everything. I mean, it's already made. He made it for our enjoyment, our good, our enjoyment together, that we would both enjoy it. Living our life separate from Him and just guessing and faking it all the time. That's an abortion of His design for us. And if we're paying attention, pretty soon we realize that it's pretty empty. It never brings quite the fulfillment that it seems like it should. Every step we take is really a threshold because of our fallen nature and his redemption, his fix of that. It's our choice at every step to realize it's a threshold through which we can discover incredible new vistas of reality, of what truly is and what truly is productive and works with the rest of creation rather than pushing and pulling and trying to make it work the way we expect it to. So every threshold, actually life seems closed in and some things seem totally impossible to change. But if we're looking for Jesus, the one who fixed it all, he'll make a doorway right in the middle of the brick wall and call us through. And the hard part, or the difficulty, I guess, unless you start to realize how beautiful, how joyful it really is to come through new thresholds toward him, the hard part is that you can't bring the old stuff with you. You can't bring the broken stuff and mix it with the real thing. It only would corrupt the real thing. And what he wants us to be full of is the real thing. When you take the next step, take it with him. Take it in obedience to his call. Take it following him. And when you think about it, like Peter, where else would we go? He's the only one. He's the only truth, the way. He's the life. No one else has the words of life. Kelly Willard is my guest today. I've loved this lady for a long time. And I'm not alone. There's thousands of us that have loved this lady because of what came through her that affected our lives. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you, Terry. I'm glad to be here.
Well,
very glad.
I'm glad we're both alive at this point. That's kind of miraculous, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
After all the stuff that we've
been through.
Been, okay. Where we've been, what we've been through, and all that.
Yes.
You've seen hard times, but you've seen some glorious times in the Lord's presence.
Yes.
Too, and maybe at the same time. I mean, that happens, doesn't it?
Yes.
Tell me, what's the biggest thing that caused you to know that you were going to be a voice for a heart after God? Do you remember that?
Well, I really honestly didn't know. I enjoyed being in bands. I enjoyed being in the background. I enjoyed doing background vocals, playing keyboards. And I had a few songs, you know.
Where were you living then? Where were you originally from?
Well, I'm originally from Florida.
Yeah.
But I moved from Oklahoma to California in 1977.
Wow.
And I stopped by the Maranatha Studios when they were being built, and Tommy was there. Jonathan David Brown is the one that had me come by.
Yeah.
Tommy Coombs was there, and I guess Jonathan had been bending his ear about me, you know, which was very nice of him. So the day I stopped by, Tommy knew I was there and came in to meet me and asked me to sit down at the piano and play him some of my songs. And really, Terry, I only had about three or four songs, really. So, I mean, I had no idea what was ahead. He seemed to enjoy the songs. And then Dan and I decided to move to California, which was 77. And I began to be asked to play on different things, like play on Karen Lafferty's Sweet Communion album and sing back up on it and sing back up for Bob Bennett's albums and Robbie Duke.
So you were just as strong a musician as you were a singer.
Probably stronger because I really had only done backgrounds up to that point. I would say about a year after we moved out here, about 1978, Tommy and Maranatha Music approached me and asked if I would like to do a solo album. I was pretty blown away by that. Mm-hmm. And by that time, I had a few more songs. Not very many, but enough to fill an album, 12 or 13. That's really where I began singing, like you said, as a voice, a solo artist. And then I was blessed to be received by so many through radio, airplay, and concerts.
People were bowled over. You weren't just received. The spirit that came through your song and the vocal was beyond, I mean, it was so timely. It was just the right flavor, just the right, the Lord just timed it so perfectly that it broke through some barriers. It was almost like they weren't even there. It was just melted them like butter.
Praise the Lord, man. That is cool.
Anybody I talk to has the same story.
Praise God.
Incredible power.
Wow.
It's the Lord's power.
Oh, yes.
But obviously, and already you've revealed that you weren't pushing it. You weren't scheming.
No.
And that's the qualification, isn't it? For the Lord to really pour it on.
I think it's a lot better way for things to happen than to be having to knock on all the doors. But I just see it as a gift. It was just God.
Well, it was a gift to me because you sung my heart.
That's wonderful.
And that's what you were doing for so many. And you just revealed that there was sometimes when I returned the favor.
You were singing mine,
And that's a real pleasure to me to hear. Now, when you first started that and you had the album and there was such a great response to it, that brought us into what was then the contemporary Christian music ministry change into business. How did you handle that?
I pretty much steered clear of big anything. I mean, I don't know why, except that I wasn't asked, number one, by a lot of companies.
Yeah.
I had done a second album with Maranatha Music, and that was Willing Heart, my second album, and that was 1980.
Yeah.
So I had done two albums for Maranatha, and probably a lot of people just saw me as a Maranatha artist, you know, and I was kind of glad because I wanted to stay simple and straight ahead and be able to go where people called for me to go.
Yes.
not have some kind of machine sending me places and moving my arms for me and things like that. I did have a manager for a couple weeks that they hired for me to try to manage me. I was unmanageable. It lasted 2 weeks.
Well, you had a manager already.
Yeah, I did.
That's Holy Spirit.
That's
what I was discovering at the same time.
They were trying to make me over, change my look and style.
Oh,
about 2 weeks into it, I was like, that's enough of that.
Yes.
And I just declined. I'm sure they were disappointed. And Dan did the booking, and I'm very thankful. It's all worth it to be able to be a carrier of his presence and go to people. It's just a privilege, really.
Keeping those things clear kept you from getting swallowed up.
And, yeah.
You know, back then, people were leaving the record business to sing for Jesus.
I'll tell you, there's some people out there right now that I really appreciate
me too.
Their heart.
Mm-hmm.
God always has a remnant.
That's right.
He always does. For all the surface trite stuff that goes on, there's at least that many that are a remnant of true worshipers.
Yeah.
I might mention my favorite, Matt Redman. People tell me, you know, you take me to a place in the Lord that nobody gets me there. It's so fast in their music.
Right.
And that's how I feel about Matt Redman. He does that for me.
Oh.
Yeah, he's just a straight arrow. And he came out of an incredible amount of pain in his home life. That might be the reason for the depth.
Well, it seems to go hand in hand a lot. Out of those lives comes the same product of fruitfulness that came from your brokenness and my brokenness and Matt's brokenness.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm.
Every time the Word of God is opened and consumed, He's doing surgery on us.
Yes, amen.
He said, I tear you to heal you. So, yeah, it hurts.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's a disaster to your flesh.
To the flesh.
And to your expectations and to all that you were banking your life on.
Exactly, Terry. That's a good way to put it.
But He's got a new life for you.
Yes.
And we couldn't tell people what it was, but we could sing it.
Yes, that's right.
And there's no way to articulate that in a 3-minute period of time. There's no way to do it. You'd have to write a whole bunch of books to say it. And of course, nobody's going to listen that long. But in 3 minutes, they can digest and go through a whole surgery.
I know. Isn't that a miracle?
And then wake up.
It's miraculous.
On the recovery table.
3-minute surgery. Maybe we should do an album called 3-Minute Surgeries.
3-Minute Surgery. That's good. Now, didn't you go out to where you're living now to do some writing with other people?
Especially with my best friend, Renee Stamps.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of the reason why I ended up in Florence, Alabama, which also is home to Lenny and Sherry LeBlanc.
Oh, yeah. I love those guys.
Yeah,
oh,
they're just down the road.
I sing Lenny's songs all the time.
Oh, me too.
I mean, Sunday morning, I just did We Stand in Awe of Your Presence.
Oh, my gosh. I love that song.
That is powerful.
And There Is None Like You.
Did that one, too.
Yeah.
It was the Lenny Show.
He's a blessing. Anyway, he's in the same town. And I went there to have a feeling of family. I didn't feel compelled to move back to my hometown in Florida where my brother is or to St. Pete where my sister is. So I don't know, sometimes there's people that are like family to you, you know.
Yeah, closer than a brother.
Yeah, and you eat Thanksgiving meals at their house and Christmas dinner, and, you know, they're like your family. Well, that's how Renee and her parents and her kids and all of them, her whole family is to me. And the style is so different than what I generally do. It leans more towards hill country music, you know, like bluegrassy. We were just determined to do some recording, you know.
Yeah.
And so a friend of hers named Barry Billings plays guitar, dobro, and other stuff, steel. and he had a recording machine. What we did was we practiced at her house, and we began to set up microphones, catch and room recorded music.
Yeah.
And we started in her house and ended up at her parents' farmhouse, where there's only furniture. Nobody lives in there. And the walls are wooden, and the floors are wooden. And we set up mics, and we had some more people come in, banjo player, and a guy with impeccable rhythm playing the snare, you know, just the snare with brushes. I would play the mandolin, and which is my hobby. And Renee plays guitar. Barry plays guitar. He also plays dobro. We cut about six songs. Seven at the most, and they're in the mixing stage.
They are now?
Yeah. It's been a long haul because of getting everybody's schedules together.
Yeah, sure.
But Barry is mixing it. Not sure. I think it's going to be called Angel Dance.
Really?
Yeah. There's a song that Renee wrote that was inspired when she saw my daughter's picture on the Paga CD dancing in a field, and she wrote it about her. It's so sweet. Mm. These songs are just so sweet and so different. Renee, I just have an incredible amount of respect for her, and she doesn't even know what she has. She just sings what she feels.
So you both sing on these songs?
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, I overdubbed some third harmonies.
Yeah.
One song, her son overdubbed some third harmonies and played on.
Wow.
They're very fresh and very unique in their outlook on things.
Great.
That's what I like about her. She gets inspired just at the drop of a pen to call something what she sees it and write a song about it.
I think that type of music, it's just so open for it that it just kind of pours through.
Oh, yeah. It's just very,
because
very
it
open.
Just brings it out of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulls it out of you.
Yeah.
I remember that as a kid. Powerful stuff comes out because you're just talking plain English. You're not trying to impress anybody. It's just coming right out of real life. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
And when it's that way, then the Lord can just say whatever he wants to.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, me too.
So there's seven songs?
Six or seven. I'd have to sit here and try to think of the titles of the songs to count it up.
So you've been working on this for a while.
Yeah, since I first got there a year ago, July. But like I said, our schedules going different directions, you know, was the hardest thing. But Barry's been very busy. And so he's trying to get it mixed. That's what he told us at our little fish fry we had recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a fish fry. It was so fun.
I miss those.
Yeah.
So that's been a great shift for your life, to just get engaged in that.
Yes, it helped heal me from some things, such as the death of my daughter.
Yeah.
It helped take me into something totally interesting and that just got my attention and held my attention away from the sorrowing and the grieving. And I mean, I grieved and grieved and grieved and grieved and grieved. And I finally, you know, had to do what my grief counselor told me. She said, you need to find something to put your mind on
that
so your body can get well.
Yes.
And I never heard of anything like that. Something
Your mind is just pumping your body with chemicals.
Yeah. So anyway, man, I was so happy when we started doing that music. Then I started, this is going to get funny, but I started going to a little church that, and now I really felt led of the Lord, and I still do. And I felt like the Lord said, stay here and help them with their music. But I got invited to a cowboy church.
Oh, yeah, good.
It's called the West Lauderdale Cowboy Church.
They're fun.
Yeah, they believe in fun, I tell you. And I play my mandolin on the worship team.
Do you really?
Yeah. So I'm like with it, with the guitars, you know. I'm chinking right along, you know.
Wow.
and did singing.
Did an old cowboy from Texas play with you sometime?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That would be fun.
You can get Will to come over and we can jam.
I know. That would be fun.
Do some hooting and hollering and some deep worship.
Yes. Mary, the pastor's wife, she's one of my best friends. She ran into Lenny, and she asked Lenny, Lenny, will you come over and sing at our church? And he said, yes.
Of course.
He said he would. So we're trying to get Lenny and my son, who plays bass and lives in Franklin, right outside of Nashville, to come at the same time. And
that's wonderful. And that answers some of my questions about what's happening now in a very active, illustrative way. I mean, you're telling me what the Lord's doing with the church thing and Renee and the project and all of that.
It's humorous at times, especially when the dog named Cookie comes to church. We have a dog come in and sit on the front
dogs
row.
Dogs are Christians.
I mean, he come waddling in, smacked himself down on the front row. And I remember this is when I was first going there. I'm trying to figure the place out, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're letting a dog come in. And I'm playing the mandolin and I'm thinking these things. And I'm going, what are they going to do now? The people on the front row leaned over and started petting him and roughing up his little ears and, you know, just welcomed him in the service. Anybody that'll welcome a dog in the service is okay with me.
Yeah.
You know?
It kind of gives us encouragement, doesn't it? We might be okay.
We'll be right back after this.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com. or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
standing at another threshold, hearing your voice call me to your side. There's no other voice I'll follow. My shepherd, you're the place that I abide. There's no reason I should tarry. Yesterday's done, I must carry on. Though I don't know about tomorrow, I know that we are headed straight for home. Where else can I drink living water? Where else can I hear words of life? How else can I know for sure I'm traveling your way? Unless I go, unless I follow every step you take. Knowing there's no other doorway makes it clearer how to make a choice. Mostly in a secret still place, I wait and work until I hear your voice. How can I be down and fearful, thinking I'm the one that needs to know? Why should I wonder why and worry, knowing that my shepherd loves me so? Where else can I drink living water? Where else can I hear words of life? How else can I know for sure I'm traveling your way? Unless I go, unless I follow every step you take. Where else can I drink living water? Where else can I hear words of life? How else can I know for sure I'm traveling your way? Unless I go, unless I follow every step you take.
God made us to commune with Him, to walk with Him, to enjoy walking through life with Him, working with Him, laughing, crying, all the things we experience to do with Him. That's His design, and to enjoy His design in everything. I mean, it's already made. He made it for our enjoyment, our good, our enjoyment together, that we would both enjoy it. Living our life separate from Him and just guessing and faking it all the time, that's an abortion of His design for us. And if we're paying attention, pretty soon we realize that it's pretty empty. It never brings quite the fulfillment that it seems like it should. Every step we take is really a threshold. Because of our fallen nature and His redemption, His fix of that, it's our choice at every step to realize it's a threshold through which we can discover incredible new vistas of reality, of what truly is, and what truly is productive and works with the rest of creation, rather than pushing and pulling and trying to make it work the way we expect it to. So every threshold, actually life seems closed in. And some things seem totally impossible to change. But if we're looking for Jesus, the one who fixed it all, he'll make a doorway right in the middle of the brick wall and call us through. And the hard part, or the difficulty, I guess, unless you start to realize how beautiful, how joyful it really is to come through new thresholds toward him, the hard part is that you can't bring the old stuff with you. You can't bring the broken stuff and mix it with the real thing. It only would corrupt the real thing. And what he wants us to be full of is the real thing. When you take the next step, take it with him. Take it in obedience to his call. Take it following him. And when you think about it, like Peter, where else would we go? He's the only one. He's the only truth, the way. He's the life. No one else has the words of life. Kelly Willard is my guest today. I've loved this lady for a long time. And I'm not alone. There's thousands of us that have loved this lady because of what came through her that affected our lives. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you, Terry. I'm glad to be here.
Well,
very glad.
I'm glad we're both alive at this point. That's kind of miraculous, isn't it?
Yes, it
after,
is.
After yes. All the stuff that we've
been through.
Been, okay. Where we've been, what we've been through, and all that.
Yes.
You've seen hard times, but you've seen some glorious times in the Lord's presence.
Yes.
Too, and maybe at the same time. I mean, that happens, doesn't it?
Yes.
Tell me, what's the biggest thing that caused you to know that you were going to be a voice for a heart after God? You remember that?
Well, I really honestly didn't know. I enjoyed being in bands. I enjoyed being in the background. I enjoyed doing background vocals, playing keyboards. And I had a few songs, you know.
Where were you living then? Where were you originally from?
Well, I'm originally from Florida.
Yeah.
But I moved from Oklahoma to California in 1977.
Wow.
And I stopped by the Maranatha Studios when they were being built, and Tommy was there. Jonathan David Brown is the one that had me come by.
Yeah.
Tommy Coombs was there, and I guess Jonathan had been bending his ear about me, you know, which was very nice of him. So the day I stopped by, Tommy knew I was there and came in to meet me and asked me to sit down at the piano and play him some of my songs. And really, Terry, I only had about three or four songs, really. So, I mean, I had no idea what was ahead. He seemed to enjoy the songs. And then Dan and I decided to move to California, which was 77. And I began to be asked to play on different things, like play on Karen Lafferty's Sweet Communion album and sing back up on it and sing back up for Bob Bennett's albums and Roby
Duke.
So
you were just as strong a musician as you were a singer.
Probably stronger because I really had only done backgrounds up to that point. I would say about a year after we moved out here, about 1978, Tommy and Maranatha Music approached me and asked if I would like to do a solo album. I was pretty blown away by that. Mm-hmm. And by that time, I had a few more songs. Not very many, but enough to fill an album, 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's really where I began singing, like you said, as a voice, a solo artist. And then I was blessed to be received by so many through radio, airplay, and concerts.
People were bowled over. You weren't just received. The spirit that came through your song and the vocal was beyond, I mean, it was so timely. It was just the right flavor, just the right, the Lord just timed it so perfectly.
Pretty.
It broke through some barriers. It was almost like they weren't even there. It was just melted them like butter.
Praise the Lord, man. That is
if
cool.
Anybody I talk to has the same story.
Praise God.
Incredible power.
Wow.
It's the Lord's power.
Oh, yes.
But obviously, and already you've revealed that you weren't pushing it. You weren't scheming.
No.
And that's the qualification, isn't it? For the Lord to really pour it on.
I think it's a lot better way for things to happen than to be having to knock on all the doors. But I just see it as a gift. It was just God.
Well, it was a gift to me because you sung my heart.
That's
See, and
wonderful.
That's what you were doing for so many. And you just revealed that there was sometimes when I returned the favor.
Mine, yeah.
And that's a real pleasure to me to hear. Now, when you first started that and you had the album and there was such a great response to it, that brought us into what was then the contemporary Christian music ministry change into business. How did you handle that?
I pretty much steered clear of big anything. I mean, I don't know why, except that I wasn't asked, number one, by a lot of companies.
Yeah.
I had done a second album with Maranatha Music, and that was Willing Heart, my second album, and that was 1980.
Yeah.
So I had done two albums for Maranatha, and probably a lot of people just saw me as a Maranatha artist, you know, and I was kind of glad because I wanted to stay simple and straight ahead and be able to go where people called for me to go, not have some kind of machine sending me places and moving my arms for me and things like that. I did have a manager for a couple weeks that they hired for me to try to manage me. I was unmanageable. It lasted 2 weeks.
Well, you had a manager already.
Yeah, I did.
That's
Holy Spirit.
That's what I was discovering at the same time.
They were trying to make me over, change my look and style.
Oh,
about 2 weeks into it, I was like, that's enough of that. And I just declined. I'm sure they were disappointed. And Dan did the booking, and I'm very thankful. It's all worth it to be able to be a carrier of his presence and go to people. It's just a privilege, really.
Keeping those things clear kept you from getting swallowed up.
And, yeah.
You know, back then people were leaving the record business to sing for Jesus.
I'll tell you, there's some people out there right now that I really appreciate.
Mm, me too.
Their heart.
Mm-hmm.
God always has a remnant.
That's right.
He always does. For all the surface trite stuff that goes on, there's at least that many that are a remnant of true worshipers.
Yeah.
I might mention my favorite, Matt Redman. People tell me, you know, you take me to a place in the Lord that nobody gets me there. It's so fast in their music.
Right.
And that's how I feel about Matt Redman. He does that for me. Yeah, he's just a straight arrow. And he came out of an incredible amount of pain in his home life. That might be the reason for the depth.
Well, it seems to go hand in hand a lot. Out of those lives comes the same product of fruitfulness that came from your brokenness and my brokenness and Matt's brokenness.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm.
Every time the Word of God is opened and consumed, he's doing surgery on us.
Yes, amen.
He said, I tear you to heal you. So, yeah, it hurts.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's a disaster to your flesh.
To the flesh,
and to your expectations and to all that you were banking your life on.
Exactly, Terry. That's a good way to put it.
But he's got a new life for you.
Yes.
And we couldn't tell people what it was, but we could sing it.
Yes, that's right.
And there's no way to articulate that in a 3-minute period of time. There's no way to do it. You'd have to write a whole bunch of books to say it. And of course, nobody's going to listen that long. But in 3 minutes, they can digest and go through a whole surgery.
I know. Isn't that a miracle?
And then wake up.
It's miraculous.
On the recovery table.
3-minute surgery. Maybe we should do an album called 3-Minute Surgeries.
3-Minute Surgery. That's good. Now, didn't you go out to where you're living now to do some writing with other people?
Especially with my best friend, Renee Stamps.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of the reason why I ended up in Florence, Alabama, which also is home to Lenny and Sherry LeBlanc.
Oh, yeah. I love those guys.
Yeah,
oh,
they're just down the road.
I sing Lenny's songs all the time.
Oh, me too.
I mean, Sunday morning, did We Stand in Awe of Your Presence.
Oh my gosh, I love that song.
That is powerful.
And There Is None Like You.
Did that one too.
Yep.
It was the Lenny show.
He's a blessing. Anyway, he's in the same town. And I went there to have a feeling of family. I didn't feel compelled to move back to my hometown in Florida where my brother is, or to St. Pete where my sister is. So, I don't know, sometimes there's people that are like family to you, you know.
Yeah, closer than a brother.
Yeah, and you eat Thanksgiving meals at their house and Christmas dinner, and, you know, they're like your family. Well, that's how Renee and her parents and her kids and all of them, her whole family is to me. And the style is so different than what I generally do. It leans more towards hill country music, you know, like bluegrassy. We were just determined to do some recording, you know.
Yeah.
And so a friend of hers named Barry Billings plays guitar, dobro, and other stuff, steel. And he had a recording machine. What we did was we practiced at her house, and we began to set up microphones, catch and room recorded music.
Yeah.
And we started in her house and ended up at her parents' farmhouse where there's only furniture. Nobody lives in there. And the walls are wooden and the floors are wooden. And we set up mics, and we had some more people come in, banjo player and a guy with impeccable rhythm playing the snare, you know, just a snare with brushes. I would play the mandolin, and which is my hobby. And Renee plays guitar. Barry plays guitar. He also plays dobro. We cut about 6 songs, 7 at the most. And they're in the mixing stage.
They are now?
Yeah. It's been a long haul because of getting everybody's schedules together.
Yeah, sure.
But Barry is mixing it. Not sure. I think it's going to be called Angel Dance.
Really?
Yeah. There's a song that Renee wrote that was inspired when she saw my daughter's picture on the Paga CD dancing in a field, and she wrote it about her. It's so sweet. Mm. These songs are just so sweet and so different. Renee, I just have an incredible amount of respect for her, and she doesn't even know what she has. She just sings what she feels.
So you both sing on these songs?
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, I overdubbed some third harmonies.
Yeah.
One song, her son overdubbed some third harmonies and played on.
Wow.
They're very fresh and very unique in their outlook on things.
Great.
That's what I like about her. She gets inspired just at the drop of a pen to call something what she sees it and write a song about it.
I think that type of music is just so open for it that it just kind of pours through.
Oh, yeah. It's just very,
because
very
it
open.
Just brings it out of you.
Yeah.
Pulls it out of you.
Yeah.
I remember that as a kid. Powerful stuff comes out because you're just talking plain English. You're not trying to impress anybody. It's just coming right out of real life. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
And when it's that way, then the Lord can just say whatever he wants to.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, me too.
So there's seven songs?
Six or seven. I'd have to sit here and try to think of the titles of the songs to count it up.
So you've been working on this for a while.
Yeah, since I first got there a year ago, July. But like I said, our schedules going different directions, you know, was the hardest thing. But Barry's been very busy, and so he's trying to get it mixed. That's what he told us at our little fish fry we had recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a fish fry. It was so fun.
I miss those.
Yeah.
So that's been a great shift for your life, to just get engaged in that.
Yes, it helped heal me from some things, such as the death of my daughter.
Yeah.
It helped take me into something totally interesting and that just got my attention and held my attention away from the sorrowing and the grieving. And I mean, I grieved and grieved and grieved and grieved and grieved. And I finally, you know, had to do what my grief counselor told me. She said, you need to find something to put your mind on
that
so your body can get well.
Yes.
And I never heard of anything like that. Something
Your mind is just pumping your body with chemicals.
Yeah. So anyway, man, I was so happy when we started doing that music. Then I started, this is going to get funny, but I started going to a little church and I really felt led of the Lord, and I still do. And I felt like the Lord said, stay here and help them with their music. But I got invited to a cowboy church.
Oh, yeah, good.
It's called the West Lauderdale Cowboy Church.
They're fun.
Yeah, they believe in fun, I tell you. And I play my mandolin on the worship team.
Do you really?
Yeah. So I'm like with it, with the guitars, you know. I'm chinking right along, you know.
Wow.
And
they let an old cowboy from Texas play with you sometime?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That would be fun.
If
you can get Will to come over and we can jam.
I know. That would be fun.
Do some hooting and hollering and some deep worship.
Yes. Mary, the pastor's wife, she's one of my best friends. She ran into Lenny, and she asked Lenny, Lenny, will you come over and sing at our church? And he said, yes.
Of course.
He said he would. So we're trying to get Lenny and my son, who plays bass and lives in Franklin, right outside of Nashville, to come at the same time. And
that's wonderful. And that answers some of my questions about what's happening now in a very active, illustrative way. I mean, you're telling me what the Lord's doing with the church thing and Renee and the project and all of that.
It's humorous at times. especially when the dog named Cookie comes to church. We have a dog come in and sit on the front
dogs
row.
Dogs are Christians.
I mean, he come waddling in, smacked himself down on the front row. And I remember this when I was first going there. I'm trying to figure the place out, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're letting a dog come in. And I'm playing the mandolin, and I'm thinking these things, and I'm going, what are they going to do now? The people on the front row leaned over and started petting him and roughing up his little ears and, you know, just welcomed him in the service. Anybody that'll welcome a dog in the service is okay with me.
Yeah.
You know.
It kind of gives us encouragement, doesn't it? We might be okay.
We'll be right back after this.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com. or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.